So as a brown Muslim woman, I know I'm going to be a target for everything.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of the Chica Travel Podcast. Woo! I'm so happy today. I have a... I'm calling you my friend. Are you my friend?
We are definitely friends.
Yay! I have Nafisa, who is going to talk to us about tech and travel. Such a beautiful, beautiful emergence. And I'm really excited to be talking to her because when I saw her on TikTok, I was like, oh, I want to be her friend. Welcome, Nafisa.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on a travel podcast, my first travel podcast.
And you are someone who loves travel, absolutely.
I do. I live and breathe it. Like tech.
So tell me, you are a journalist, or you started off as a journalist and now you're running your own business. What made you decide tech, and what made you decide, oh, I actually love travel and I'm going to, you know, travel the world?
So I don't know whether you know this little tidbit about me. I studied travel and tourism.
What?
Yes.
Oh.
I wanted to get into travel. I wanted to get into information technology, IT. But at the time, my dad was like, oh, it's not a career suited for a Muslim woman. He didn't let me study tech. So I was a bit sad and upset. So I chose travel and tourism.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't just sit at home. And then I started working for a travel website. I started teaching myself HTML and the online part of it because I was already updating the website and I already had the love for tech. Mm-hmm. I was the family tech support when I was a teenager. So it was a natural evolution, I would say. I started writing for a tech website and they nominated me for an award. And I accidentally landed my career. And now 18, 19 years later, I'm a tech writer.
I thought you studied journalism, blah, 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 blah.
It was purely accidental.
Wow.
Based on my love for tech and writing about it, which is why I always advocate for blogs or your own personal platforms if you're passionate.
Wow. So now that has grown, that is your thing all of these years later.
Yeah, I started my own website, Wired to the Web, a long time ago while I was working full time. Fortunately, my employer allowed me to do it. And I rebranded to Recharged about 3 years ago.
Wow.
Haven't looked back.
And guys, that website has got everything you need to know. So really, really amazing stuff. But now let's talk about your relationship with travel. So when you decided, okay, travel and tourism, was it because you love travel, or how did your relationship with travel actually start?
So very weirdly, my first trip out of the country was moving abroad. I did the,
wow.
Do you remember the UK working holiday visa? It was
yes.
Such a big thing like 2 decades ago. If not more. So I went on that with my husband after I got married. That's how I was bitten by the travel bug, so to speak, when I lived abroad. But it was so weird that I didn't want to live in the UK full time.
Mm-hmm.
Like once we were done with our stint, I was happy to come back to South Africa, but still travel.
Mm.
Because at the time I was very young. I was learning to take the bus and train on my own because I had a job. My husband was working shifts at some other factory and I was with my housemate, a South African, and we worked together.
Mm.
It was such a unique environment teaching me how to be independent. And yeah.
Wow. So how long did you stay there before you came back home?
Just under a year, but my husband was there for about 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was a 2-year visa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then after that, what was the first trip outside of SA where you just decided, okay, I'm going on holiday?
It was actually a work event. I was on an incentive trip on the travel website I mentioned to you. They took us
yes.
to Mozambique, to Inyaka Island.
Oh.
And after that, I went to Victoria Falls
mm-hmm.
on the Zambia side. And slowly, and then after that, I did a bit of the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
The Far East.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just started very slowly finding my feet and realizing this is what I love doing. And yeah.
Oh, and here you are today. Wow. So as someone who travels, you know, as much as you do, I want to get to the tech. And I was actually, we were talking about the fact that I've got my cue card and you've got,
I've got an iPad,
which is amazing. So what then happens to your phone? What do you make sure is on your phone or off your phone before you take a trip?
So for me, the most important thing is I know that I need access to all my documents.
Mm-hmm.
So every single part of my travel trip, my itinerary, my flights, hotels, insurance, e-visas, transport, any type of document booked for my travel, I convert them to PDF if they're not already.
Mm-hmm.
And I send it to myself on WhatsApp because wherever you are, you don't need to have connectivity to access your WhatsApp. So fortunately, I'm not this person who prints out documents, but if border control ever has to ask... If border control ever wants to see documents, Fortunately, I don't get asked a lot about where's your return ticket, what are you here for. They accept my answers verbally. Okay. But if I ever need to show something, I have done in the past. Like I've been to Ghana a few years ago via Rwanda. They want to see your return ticket. So I showed it to them on my phone. Mm. They accepted it. So apart from just sending the documents to myself, there's a whole bunch of other apps. I actually create a folder with the country name, like having returned from Japan. I had a temporary folder called Japan on my home screen. And all the apps that I would be using on that trip, I put in there.
So wait. Yeah. On your phone.
On my phone, yes.
So you will create
a temp folder.
Oh my God. Like,
so Japan, I just did it now. And I put in my eSIM app, my translation, the airline I was flying with, the old way I booked my tours, Viator and whatever, Klook, whatever these apps I was using, yes. My translation. Yeah, everything that I knew. Oh, and I signed up for their Go Taxi. It's like their Uber equivalent.
Yes.
I always try to sign up for more than one taxi on demand service wherever I'm going, just as a backup. So I put it all in there on demand
service. This is like a great tip because... Yeah. I have a folder on my phone called Travel.
Yeah.
So all the apps that I use are there.
Oh, I also have that.
And, yeah. And as I download, I keep adding.
Yeah.
But now sometimes you have to, swipe and swipe
exactly.
to get to the one.
Exactly.
But
that.
I'm loving your plan.
So
because
it's just a temp folder.
Yes.
When you're done, you just remove it because you're not deleting the apps. You're just removing them from the folder. Yeah. So that's how I kind of prepare digitally before I leave.
Okay. So because you've just come back from Japan,
yes.
What were the apps? You've mentioned some of them now. You said
yes.
Go, you've got Klook. What else?
Klook, Viator. There's another table something. I forget to book restaurants, reservations.
Oh.
Yeah. And then your just even standard ones like your Google Translate, which we used quite a bit.
Mm.
You know, anything I know that I would be, even my Aerolo eSIM app was in there.
And Google Maps, and because you can have downloadable.
You can do
maps.
Offline maps. Everything was there. Google Maps as well.
Okay. Because you've mentioned eSIM and you've mentioned, I don't, never know how to say their name. Is it Aerolo?
I think it's Aerolo.
Aerolo.
I used to say Aerolo, but I Googled it. I don't know.
Yeah, I did a whole video on TikTok and I said Aerolo. And then afterwards, I'm like, how? Why? What if this is not the right?
Well, that was me a few years ago too. I mean, but I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how you say it, right?
Yeah, right. It's the concept.
Yeah.
So eSIMs,
yes.
More and more adverts that I'm seeing about eSIMs. Just maybe tell people how eSIMs work and why you prefer an eSIM versus, going to a Vodacom or Vodashop there to buy a SIM
so
card.
So for me, privacy is the main aspect. I don't want to standing in a queue. I don't want to stand in a queue. Yes, with your passport, handing over your proof of this, proof of that. Everybody gets hacked nowadays. Every single day, a company is being hacked. You don't know what's going to happen with your passport and home address. Who's getting access to your info? For me, I didn't want that accessible to anyone.
Mm.
So I forewent all of that. And that's why I love eSIMs, because I'm not queuing and I'm not giving up my personal data.
Mm.
That made the decision so much quicker. But apart from that, you can set it up in your home country before you leave.
Yes.
With Aerolo, you buy your package for whichever country. Mm. You install it, but you activate it when you land.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when you don't do that, you don't have data. So how are you going to access the app? Which I think it's an issue with these eSIM apps. They need to make it zero rated or available when you want to sign
especially
up.
Especially to activate. Yes.
So yeah, that's my... I everything I do is for convenience, not standing in a queue, cutting down the time I spend anywhere. So that's why I would 100% prefer it. But I think an important thing to note is that you need to buy a phone that's compatible with an eSIM.
Yes.
So anybody who asks me for phone buying advice, my first thing is if you travel, get a phone that supports eSIM.
Mm.
It's so convenient. You can have two, you can use two numbers at once, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I like that because you don't have, we used to, you go buy a SIM card and then you must open your phone, put your SIM card away.
And then you're going to lose your SIM card if you buy a travel SIM. What are you going to, are you going to remember where you're putting this tiny little SIM card?
Yeah. So definitely eSIMs
are the way
to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I love that. So with you mentioned, there's hacking that happens all of the time.
Yeah.
But what are some of the digital threats, that we as travelers are maybe underestimating at the moment?
I think a lot of the booking providers, I've seen complaints online where people say that they received a message from the person they booked with to say, click this link to verify. But you should never, ever click a link. All these reputable, so-called reputable sites that people use and apps, they are getting the messages directly from there. So it's very tricky. So my tip is to never click a link. Look, I've been covering tech for almost 18, 19 years now.
Mm.
I don't know how much I must say, don't click a link. It doesn't matter what the scam is, whether they're asking for a PIN, whether something has happened, your family member, this happened, or I'm stranded.
Mm.
Do not click a link. Do not share passwords. So that's something to keep in mind. And another thing is like Wi-Fi spoofing. So if you're at the airport, you don't know someone created a fake one and now they're going to steal your credentials. This feeds into why using a VPN is so important. It encrypts your data. So any username and password you put while you're on that free network, it won't be intercepted by any hacker.
Okay, now you are going into technical territories, talking about VPNs.
VPNs are just important to have.
But okay, but can anybody get a VPN? Because I don't know anything about VPNs.
The thing is,
school us.
So some are free, some are paid for. You just need to make sure when the service is free, you the product. Mm. That's very crucial to remember. So you should also not mind paying for a VPN, even if it's a little fee. Mm. A lot of them have buy 2 years or 3 years in upfront, and you get a massive discount. So those are ones worth looking at. Mm. Yeah. So I personally use NordVPN if it helps. If you want to look into it,
NordVPN.
Nord,
okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I think just being alert that you're not clicking some dodgy link. And another thing, when you travel, the fake QR codes. So if some hotel or someone puts a QR code on the wall, a bad actor could put a sticker over it. And, you know, how are you going to know? So don't scan QR codes. Unless it's like directly from, you go to a company's event and they're giving you the QR code.
I've never
like when you see randomly at a hotel or anywhere for that matter, like, hey, cool.
Don't be just clicking.
Get the free tour. Whatever the case, I'm just giving you a random example. Don't scan that QR code.
Wow, thank you. I never thought of that.
But actually, just quickly, a few months ago, I made a video on TikTok about things to be aware of, how to stay digitally secure. So if anyone's listening, they want to check it out
we'll
on my TikTok. I have a travel playlist. So just go into that and you'll find it.
Okay, we'll put the link on this video now. So just going back to being at the airport and eSIMs.
Yes.
I was one of those people, whenever I get to the airport, like I connect to their Wi-Fi. Is there?
That's okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean,
because I was wondering now, am I putting my stuff at risk?
Well, if you have a VPN, you're adding another layer of security.
Oh.
But I mean, if you're like in a small country and you know there's only one Wi-Fi network showing up, then chances are it's probably legit and you know.
Okay.
But you must always remember you are giving up something, you know?
Mm, which is why they'll always ask us for our numbers or our emails or whatever else.
Yeah.
Woo, I am so scared. I think to be safe, let me just get myself an eSIM.
Yeah.
And then I manage it from that perspective. So I spoke earlier on that I discovered you on TikTok.
Yeah.
I used to be so terrified of TikTok. And then I was like, you know what? Let me just try. And then I got on there. And then when I started sharing, you're like one of the people to always comment and share. So thank you. That was really, really awesome. But what I wanted to ask you is, what's your advice for... I think there's lots of people now that are trying to be to kind of have a niche in terms of content creation, whether it's tech, whether it's travel. But what's your advice for someone who wants to build authority on a platform like TikTok or Instagram and so on?
So for me, it comes down to one thing, sharing knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key to content creation. So now you must think to yourself, what can I share that'll teach somebody else something? That's always the basis of everything I share on TikTok.
Yeah.
How can I teach somebody something? So...
If you are enjoying this conversation, I would appreciate if you could like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. It helps me bring more of these conversations, and it also helps other travelers find this podcast.
I think you could just share your unique perspective that will help the next person, your takeaway, and don't be afraid to share your opinion on something.
Mm. So, and I think the beauty of it is just because somebody else is doing it does not mean you can't do it. You do it in your own voice, in your own way. And I think that's, you know, sometimes like, oh, I wanted to talk about travel, but there are already so many travel.
No, there's room for everyone.
Absolutely.
And everyone's bringing their own unique spin and take. Yeah. You and I are not the same. Yeah. We can speak about eSIMs in a totally different
way.
And that's what makes content creation so amazing. And people like me, when I do research, I'll watch like 10 or 15 videos. Mm-hmm. So I want to see all the perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Before you actually come up with your,
I
love that. Proper research.
Yes.
Oh, now I've been waiting, wanting to talk to you about Japan. There's a visa situation, something new about their visa. And apparently it's like, I don't know, super expensive.
Just you
give
it
to us. Give it to us.
Yeah. So I went now in April, but I applied for my e-visa earlier in the year. The visa price went up fivefold. So when I applied, I paid 3,000 yen, which was around 320 rand. Now it's 15,000 yen, which is 1,500 rand, sort of.
Yeah, and you know, in just once off, it went up
so much.
Wow.
Japan is suffering from over-tourism at the moment because the yen is weakened and it's cheaper to shop there. You get your tax back. It's a very attractive destination right now. So because they want to manage the crowds, and I suppose it makes sense for them. Apparently, they hadn't increased the fee for a while. So yeah, as of April, that new fee kicked in. But it is an e-visa, so you apply online and they're very efficient. I think in about 2 days, I got my reply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
But so the process really seamless. It was really just about the cost.
I wouldn't say just seamless. Let's take a step back. It's an online platform, and the document uploading is a bit tricky. Like, we were a group of girls and we were sharing tips with each other because I did mine first. I said, consolidate your docs, for example. You know, when you apply, when you put your 3-month bank statement, there's no space to put three different documents. So I just suggested put them all in one. Merge. Put all your hotels in one document. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of helped. Mm-hmm. But these are small tech niggles. But I mean, if anyone's listening and they're keen to go, it is a very useful tip to consolidate your documents before uploading. Yeah.
All right. Was it your first time in Japan?
I went years ago in 2018, I think, pre-COVID, but also before they'd had e-visas. So actually, Japan had one of the cutest visas. I had a sticker and it was cherry blossoms.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And now, yeah, like the studio, actually. Themed for me. But yeah, now it's an e-visa. But once you land, they actually put a sticker on your passport with a little QR code.
Ah.
Yeah.
So do they stamp your passport though?
No, they don't stamp it. They put that little sticker.
Yeah.
And that sticker now with the QR code is tied to every bit of shopping you do tax-free in the country, which is kind of clever.
So you don't need to do those tax-free forms and whatever.
So Japan is the first country I've experienced where you get tax back instantly in the shop, no matter how cheap the shop is, whether you're buying clothes, a small amount of things.
Yes.
You present your passport there, then and there. They scan that QR code and just look at your passport, look at your credit card, as long as all the names match, surnames.
And then you get it same time.
You get your tax, like you pay the tax-free price.
Yeah, but in Japan, now they want to...
But can I break your heart? They are now... Because of this whole suffering from over-tourism, they're changing that rule in November 2026. So if anyone's planning to go and you can go prior to that, you'll benefit from it. Mm. But then otherwise, it'll just be like Europe where you get your VAT back at the airport.
Yeah, at the airport. Yeah. Sometimes when you come back. Oh,
I mean, it's not so bad, but like, I mean, it was so seamless. Like, first time I experienced it on that level.
Okay. And how was it though, the experience being there?
Yeah. It was unreal. It's such a vibrant city, lots of things happening, lots of neon lights everywhere, skyscrapers.
Which city did you go?
I did first Tokyo. I did about four nights in Tokyo. Then I went to Kyoto for 2 nights. Mm. And then I did Osaka 2 nights. Yeah. So I won't lie. I'm not a peak season traveler. I do off-peak travel with my husband. Mm. So when I went now on this girls trip, I found it overstimulating and there was a lot of people. A lot of the restaurants were booked out. Like it was very busy as a city. Mm-hmm. As much as I loved it and enjoyed the shopping, it did feel a bit overstimulating at times. Mm. There's only so much you can handle. Like it was nice to just maybe spend time on your own or go to the park, enjoy the cherry blossoms.
Mm.
I did experience a bit of rain, which... we tried not to let it put a damper on things. We did shopping then, but on the last day in Tokyo, I remember when the sun came out that morning, I Googled where's the best place to see cherry blossoms. And fortunately, Gemini gave me like a great option to go to the Shinjuku Gion National Park where there's multiple variety of the cherry blossoms.
Oh my
I was actually very lucky to see so many varieties. I didn't even know at the time there were so many varieties.
Oh my goodness.
Whether they're light pink, dark pink, white, pale, like so many different shades of it, and I saw it all.
Oh, you were so lucky. Yeah. Wow. So would you recommend, like, I mean, if you think about Japan and the three cities that you went to, what type of person do you think would enjoy visiting?
I think there's something for everyone, but more if you're a techie or a gamer, there's so much of that. And if you like anime and that kind of thing, you like it. But if you're a foodie, you'll also love Osaka. But also, if you love shopping, you'll also love the tax-free. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it appeals to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So there's something for every type of traveler.
I definitely think so. Like we did Mario Kart. It doesn't matter how old you are, you'll enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you spoke about the over-tourism in Japan that they are trying to manage. And we know Spain has that whole thing where tourists go away and whatever. But just generally, what are your thoughts on over-tourism and how we as travelers should be, you know, playing a role to be responsible when, you know, there's these conversations around, you know, because we all flock to the same places. We all flock. We want to go to see the Eiffel Tower. We want to go see the Trevi Fountain and those type of things.
It's a very tricky question, I won't lie, because I think the best way to manage that is perhaps consider not going during peak times, because if the country is already suffering with so many tourists there. Mm. If you want to still experience the city but not add to that, you can maybe consider shoulder seasons. Those are the best times to travel as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's actually cheaper if around absolutely. Those times.
If it's not peak, sure. So I think, just try to be mindful of that and go off peak times.
Yeah, I'm also thinking about that and what my role is going to be in just not adding to places where there's already pressure in terms of over-tourism. But
with Japan in particular, it was quite busy now because of cherry blossom season, which is end of March, early April. Want to see. But you can also benefit by going in June or July in their summer, and then it'll be long days and maybe you can get more out of your day.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. So when you're just traveling for yourself, it's not a work trip and there are no deadlines. Yeah. There's nothing to review. What does that look like? What does that version of Nafisa look like?
It's very chilled. I'm very relaxed. I don't overfill my day with plans. Mm. I like exploring neighborhoods on foot. So if I decide to go to one specific area, I'll spend a few hours there walking around, just see where I end up, what I discover accidentally. Mm. I also am a bit of a foodie, so I like looking for unique experiences, going to food markets. I love food markets, trying little things here and there. And I also love going to supermarkets in cities. Because, you know, having done that, I got to say, Woolworths and Checkers are so high on the list as best in the world. And I'm not even being biased. I don't know how to say it. Well, the quality of Woolies meals and sandwiches, I have not seen that anywhere in the world. So I love experiencing supermarkets and what they have on offer and seeing what's trending and what people eat as snacks and different flavored of the chips or the crisps or even chocolates that we don't get. So I enjoy doing that kind of thing and just finding unique things about a city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. So is there a country that you went to where you felt like this place changed, you know, how I see myself or changed something about you?
So I think, no, I can't pinpoint a single country. I have traveled a fair amount, fortunately, very grateful, very blessed. I think it also highlighted that I'm a very adaptable, resourceful person. I feel like I'll never get stranded anywhere because I have all my tools equipped on my smartphone.
Yes.
And because I'm a woman and sometimes when I go on work trips, I don't rely on other people. I am my own person that I rely on, which is why I love power banks and you'll never find me with a dead phone. So for example, as I mentioned earlier, all the apps I use, I have more than one taxi app. I can order food. I have Google Translate. I have navigation. I have everything. I have my bank cards on my phone, on my watch, and I have physical copies, well, of my cards.
The cards, yeah.
So I feel like all of that has just shown me that I'm very much a world citizen. Like I'll survive it. I truly believe you cannot get lost anywhere. You know?
I also believe the same. Like I also feel like, I mean, just put me anywhere and I'll figure out, you know, how to get around.
But also just being a woman on certain trips, it also makes you more aware of what you need to be aware of and how safe you want to be.
Yeah.
That's why, like I say, my power bank is so important. Like I can't be stranded with a dead phone anywhere. I'll always have a backup. I'll always know I can find my way back to where I need to be.
So just on that, I always used to say, sometimes I forget, but most times when I travel, I have two phones.
Yes.
I have a backup phone that's just sitting there in my luggage and whatever else, just in case something happens. Do you carry two phones or you only have one phone and everything is on there?
I do carry a secondary phone. I've been using the Samsung launch, that Galaxy Z Fold, the folding tablet, and it's perfect for travelers because it takes up less space. So I kind of load.
Is it like tiny, tiny?
It's small, yeah. Oh, it folds thin, but it's a tablet.
Okay.
I actually, speaking of travel apps, I actually load TV series offline to watch on it. So it's also my thing for my entertainment. And it folds down. And then if I need it, I put it up. And with my noise-canceling earphones. So yeah, so I think a folding tablet for a traveler makes perfect sense. If you don't want to carry a bigger tablet, if you don't want to carry your laptop, you can still get work done on the fly or some urgent thing you need to check. You have that larger screen. But it falls down. It fits in your smallest bag. Yeah.
I love that. And I wanna go back to the travel kit.
Yes.
You talked about the power bank. Guys, power banks, super important. You can't travel with, you know, these people that always borrow our power banks and now we must be.
You know what I say? A power bank is like a life jacket. Would you give it to the next
exactly.
person? They even tell you not to give your life jacket to your kids.
I'm you must wait first.
I'm just saying.
Wow. Okay.
But now I'm into super fast charging power banks, not the slow charging ones. Now I need the power quick.
Okay.
So I'm upgraded.
We'll put a link here for those ones, right? From your TikTok. On power banks, there's a rule recently that you mustn't be packing your power bank in your luggage. Because I remember actually I was in Thailand.
Yeah.
And at the airport, next thing I'm being called somewhere because I had forgotten.
So lithium ion batteries are a fire risk. So you're not allowed to put it on the overhead cabin. It has to be in your personal item in the seat in front of you. And now the new thing, obviously, is you can't actually charge your device on the power bank or charge the power bank on the plane.
So what's the point of having it there?
So that's
Okay, so it's for when you get to the destination,
Yes. But one of the other things that I never travel without is USB cables. The, whether it's an A or a C, the plane always has one.
Oh, those,
and
yes.
It also has two pin plugs. So okay. I have a little travel baggy, small thing that I keep with me. It's my permanently packed travel cable bag. It has a plug, it has those two cables, and it has a charger for my Apple Watch. So I don't use it at home. It's just permanently there with those cables. Yeah. Whether I'm on a train, a plane, wherever, it'll either take a USB-A and a USB-C. And once again, Lebo, it's fast charging.
Okay.
I don't have time for slow charging gadgets.
Yeah.
But it's also on my TikTok. I mentioned
We'll put that. Okay. Wow. So what I want to know, though, is... But I think you actually referenced this a little bit, because I was talking about the you know, as Africans, the emotional anxiety of travel.
Yeah.
Those things like, will they let me in, and visa and all of that. How do you know, what's your view on those?
So as a brown Muslim woman, I know I'm going to be a target for everything. Mm. I prepare for the worst. I prepare for people treating me badly or expecting horrible service, but visas are the most stressful, I won't lie. I've made a few videos about Schengen. I'm that person now who supplies all the additional extra documents. You know, they give you a list optional to submit. I will submit everything because I don't really want to be questions, oh, where's this? Or you didn't have this. Like, for example, I travel fairly often for work to the Schengen states. All my last few applications have been business applications, but I still provide my bank statements. It's not a requirement because your sponsor is covering you and you get a letter to say that. But I still advise people to put your own bank statements. And I believe it has helped me in the past, because now I'm on my second 5-year Schengen visa.
Yes, I actually would love to actually just ask a bit about that.
Yeah.
So firstly, that's good advice. Thank you, to say, even if it's a business visa, it wouldn't hurt to just put your own bank statements just to support that application.
Yes.
So all those documents that they're saying are optional.
Yeah.
Kind of help yourself.
I kind of decide which extra ones I want to put in. And another concern for me, as you mentioned, as an African woman traveling, when you're at border control. Now, obviously, we all know nothing is random. It's obviously what you look like, what your name is like. So I always just, it gives me anxiety when I'm entering a country. That's why earlier I mentioned I have all the documents on my phone. There's no rule that you need to have it printed.
Yeah.
But I do have proof of everywhere I'm going to be. My travel insurance, it's always readily available if I get questioned.
Yeah, that advice about sending all of these documents to yourself on WhatsApp is really, really good advice, because also, like you said, accessible even without
data.
The data, yeah. Yes. So now, I was very happy when I got a 3-year Schengen?
Yes.
And now you've got, and then I was happy until I had, you've got 5 years.
And you didn't
and then
even
I was
know
like,
5 years existed.
Yes. But what do you think is the key behind the length of the visa? Because some people, there's a friend of mine, she had previously gotten a 1-year visa. Now they gave her 3 months and she's like, what's going on? What do you think is the trick behind that?
So do you know how many times she would have used that 1-year visa, just out of curiosity?
And she used it once.
Okay.
Yes.
So the thing with them is, when I read it up, trust me, I googled everything to find out how to get a 5-year or how to get a long term. You need to have used the visa a certain amount of times to prove that you're constantly traveling in that region.
So
for, you said you got a 3-year, if you use that excessively, like just say 10 times, you are very highly likely to get a 5-year, because you proved now you also proved you didn't overstay.
So guys, this is why I'm going back to Italy over and over again. I want a longer visa.
No, but you're proving that you're not overstaying. And you know how they treat us like criminals.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not going to overstay. But if you have that record that proves you keep going in and out, despite me getting a Schengen visa in Feb 2020 and COVID hit the next month.
Oh, gosh.
I still used that visa about 12 times. And when it came time to apply last year for another visa, I said... during this 3-4 year period, even though the COVID hit, I used it X amount of times, and please consider me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that helps.
That putting a cover letter, giving your own story or motivation definitely helps.
But Nafisa, the fact that we have to be motivating.
Well, like I said, they treat us like criminals.
I know.
It's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to travel, this is what you have to...
The struggle of being African.
Or you could just not go to Schengen states or whichever states that, you know.
If you are enjoying this conversation, I would appreciate if you could like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. It helps me bring more of these conversations, and it also helps other travelers find this podcast. So are the destinations that you think about to get, like, you know, super hard in terms of, or more expensive for us as Africans in the next 2 years or so? I mean, also given everything that's happening now.
I think especially flights, given the current climate and what's happening
globally,
and the flights and the Middle East, and just additional fuel surcharges, even if you're not flying via the Middle East, it's actually quite insane. I remember the first time when all this crisis hit, I saw flights in economy to London were 12,000 and it shot up to 50,000 economy. Now, are you willing to pay that price? You know,
no.
So for me personally, I had an opportunity to potentially see family in Europe and I decided not to. My husband and I said, no, actually, with the price, I wasn't willing to pay triple the price. And I, when we were chatting briefly earlier, I mentioned to you, I actually applied for FIFA tickets to watch South Africa play South Korea in Mexico. I was now so glad I got rejected, because looking at all the reports coming out of what's going on, FIFA randomly canceling hotels in Mexico, we don't know the full story.
Yeah.
We don't know what the outlook is going to be like in a few months. I'm actually glad I did not get those tickets, because it's too much of stress and anxiety thinking what's going to happen, what you have to deal with. And I'd rather just sit it out and wait a few months, maybe not travel for the next 6 months internationally.
I'm just wondering, and because also we don't know when this whole thing is going to end. At first they said April, it's now April, and we still so it doesn't look like it's going to end
now. To answer your question, actually, it's very tricky to plan travel internationally right now. Maybe African travel for sure.
No, definitely. Because actually, you're right. Because I was checking flights to Kenya, and it's still the same price.
It's great. You're not going over the other airspace.
So time to explore the continent then.
I think it's a great, fantastic idea.
Use local, African airlines.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Now you are helping us build a kit, and please give me pictures. Give me pictures of everything that you're going to talk about. Now, if you had to build like the ultimate travel tech kit for a South African woman who's going on her first international long trip, what's in that kit?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Is it a long, long, big bag?
So I've already said this countless times. A fast charging power bank is so crucial. Noise cancelling earphones.
Sorry. On fast charging.
Yes.
Do they write that this is fast charging, or how do I know it's fast charging?
For example, if it's a 22 or 25 watt, then you know it's good for iPhones.
Okay, 22 or 25. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the fast charging power bank, noise cancelling headphones. It's a disaster if you don't have one. Everybody wants to travel. You can't complain a baby is crying because of the situation with their ears. Just buy yourself noise cancelling headphones.
And also, it's also for you to not be speaking to people on loudspeaker. In a public space.
People make video calls in public on an airplane, in an airport. I would say a mini medicine kit, because you know when you travel abroad, you're not getting the same meds you get locally.
Yeah.
I travel with a throat spray and chewing gum everywhere, because when I take off and land, the pressure in my ears, I need it. I think the USB A and C cables I mentioned earlier, very crucial, because you don't know what the plane configuration is like and what you can charge your phone with. Now that you can't use power banks, the 2-pin plug or a travel adapter, keep it on you. You never know. Also, the planes do have sockets. You might be able to charge faster that way. My favorite one, an AirTag.
Do you
have AirTags?
I do. I have two, but I lost the other one. The other one is sitting in my other bag. I had put it somewhere inside, so I actually need... Do I need more for every bag I use?
If you're checking in a bag, I would say yes.
Yes, okay.
So it's actually kind of faster than an airline, and it'll always out them if they line to you. You know where your bag is.
You can see where your bag is.
So I always recommend AirTags to everybody. Setting up your eSIM prior to departure, as I mentioned.
Sorry, Nafisa, just on AirTags.
Yes.
So I got my AirTags from the iStore.
Yes.
Are there other AirTags, types of AirTags, or is it only those ones?
No, AirTags are for iPhones.
Yeah.
Sorry, my mistake.
Yes.
Samsung has a smart tag.
Okay.
There are third-party tags that you can also look into that works with your device. But AirTag just has the strongest reputation because of it pings on any iPhone on the network. And that's the more people around, the more accurate you know where your device is and your bag is.
Okay,
so that's the draw card. But like I said, also your eSIM, set it up before you leave because you need data to access it. So do that before you get home. Offline apps. So if you want to entertain yourself on the long haul flight, you want to watch your Netflix, you want to listen to your music, whatever the case is, download all of that prior, download your offline maps to set up. Yeah, and then I just want to mention non-tech things, if that's okay.
Yes, please, of course.
So on this trip, I used a satin eye mask. Oh, it helped me with the jet lag. It helped me sleep on the plane. So once you block everything out, you're going to sleep. There's nothing distracting you. There's no light. There's no air hostess walking up and down the aisle that's distracting you. So I love me a satin eye mask. My sister actually gifted me for my birthday and was the best present. Nice. I use it everywhere.
So do you also have a, okay, I know most times you fly business, what, but do you have like a travel pillow?
I do have one, but I didn't take it on this trip. You know, some of the airline seats, they let you kind of fold it.
I kind of use that sometimes.
Sometimes, but I think for me, it's more crucial to have an eye mask now than a neck pillow, in my opinion.
Really?
Sometimes when I find I tilt my head down to reach the neck pillow, it makes my neck hurt a bit. So I prefer not doing that, if that makes sense.
Okay. And I think what you know, the stuff you're sharing is actually good things to buy someone who travels as gifts.
I'm telling you, the eye mask was fantastic. What I also like is a hydrating face cream. You know that Nivea, the dark blue. They said it's a dupe of La Mer. So that's very hydrating. I always keep that with me. A pen, like I said, a backup of all your important documents on your cloud that's accessible offline. So yeah, I think things like that are very crucial. And can I say, for a travel tracksuit, I always, I recently, in the last couple of years, I found good quality ones. Always buy natural fibers. You don't want to wear polyester on the plane and you don't know anything overheats or God forbid, we don't want fires, but you don't want to wear something that's flammable.
Yeah.
So stick to natural fibers. They're comfortable. And if you're feeling cold on the plane, keep a wool or a cashmere kind of scarf, sweater, or a very thin puffer.
I think that's a good tip, because sometimes you think, it's summer, but when you are in there and they...
Oh, I freeze on a plane. Like it's cold. I freeze. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of insulation, so I need to carry the proper stuff.
Okay, cool stuff. Thank you so much. So one thing that you wish more of us African women knew about traveling in the world right now.
So I think I want to mention two things. One, that you can go anywhere you want. You shouldn't feel like you don't belong anywhere. You want to go to a destination, and just because you don't see people like you going there, it should not put you off. If you love a certain, you have certain interests and you want to do certain things, go for it. Whether it's cycling, whether you want to run a marathon in different cities, go for it, apply. And I know you mentioned before, get that passport. That's obviously the step one. That's before anything else. But the second thing, and I speak to South Africans, a lot of our banks are very clever. They incentivize us with so many lifestyle and travel benefits. Use that to your advantage. You never know when it'll help you. It's so empowering. Years ago, my sister went on a Mediterranean cruise. Because she's a family of five, she was forced to book a second cabin, but her kids were so young, they didn't need it. She offered it to me for free. She said, just book your flights and come. And I will never forget, I used my e-bucks. I paid $3,900 for a return flight to Barcelona with my discount.
What?
And I got, you never know what opportunity will present itself. Yes. Just use your bank benefits. I think it'll help you go a long way. Whether it's, I know some of the banks give you discounts for buses, trains, planes, packages, whatever the case is. Even if you want to start local, do it, because look at the current crisis. I know we can't all fly abroad right now. So I think traveling your own province, going out of province is a very good start.
No, definitely. I've been feeling guilty about not traveling, you know, in South Africa as much as I would love to. And first opportunity, I'm like thinking, oh, where can I go out of the country? But actually, we have such a beautiful, beautiful country with so much to see and explore.
I don't know whether you've been to Mpumalanga. It's my favorite province. It's so beautiful.
I have been to Mpumalanga, and I actually went last year and got to see the potholes. And what are the...
The three rondavels.
How can I forget? I even went to that Blood River Canyon thing. Yes. But my thing with Mpumalanga, I'm very scared of curves. So when it comes to road trip, any road that requires this or going up,
have you been to Dalstrom?
No.
Oh, okay. It's also part of Mpumalanga. It's a cute little town. You should definitely go.
Okay. So you're not relating that to the windy roads, are you?
No, I'm not.
Because I would love to go to Dalstrom. Okay. But I want to go to Dalstrom.
You should check it out.
Yeah.
They have nice Belgian waffles on that main road. There's EV chargers there if you decide to take an electric car. I've done that. I went on a road trip there, but it's a fantastic little town to explore.
Do you love road trips generally?
So my husband doesn't like driving. He's very much a man of convenience. We're flying somewhere for a holiday. I don't want to put him, I don't want to make it a chore for him. So I do get a lot of test cards, but we don't go on road trips because it's a chore for him and I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I go with my friends now and then. We make day trips somewhere if I have a test car. Maybe go to Hartbeer, short ones, you know,
yes.
Or Clarence. There's a place I feel so embarrassed. It's out of Pretoria. Anyway, I can't remember. I went on a little town there once. But I want to, Clarence is on my thing to go to. Have you been?
I'm going in May.
For
the first time. And I'm so embarrassed. I'm from the Free State.
Yes.
And I have never been to Clarence. My first time in Paris was now, but it was a work trip. So I didn't really get to see it properly.
I haven't been there myself, but I would love to explore those parts. But now I think is a good time for us to explore South
Definitely.
Africa. While we are not traveling internationally.
Yeah, while there's no limit on the oil and petrol that you can put in our cars. Wow, Nafisa, thank you so much. I'm so happy you came. Really, really had a beautiful conversation. I think I'm going to just send everybody to your TikTok page because everything is there. All the tips, all the information that we need to know about travel. But thank you so, so much. Really appreciate you coming.
Thanks so much for the opportunity to share knowledge. Like I said, that's always my bottom line. I love sharing knowledge and showing people how easy it is to do things. And in this case, the travel, the tech and the travel.
thank you so much. Thank you guys for watching. I hope you've learned a thing or two. And if you enjoyed this conversation, please subscribe, like, share, comment, tell everybody about Chica Travel. And I will see you at the next one. Bye.